Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. There's a profound sentence I've always lived by. We aren't promised tomorrow. We can't take our health for granted because the mountain we live on today can turn into a valley tomorrow. Our next guest was a healthy young doctor when he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He endured the traditional chemotherapy and radiation and ended up having a 5-inch tumor removed from his chest. This only diminished but did not eradicate the cancer. He took matters into his own hands and developed a protocol, a personal plan that saved his life. Dr. Robert Zembrowski, author of the book Rebuild, joins us to share how to rebuild your body from chronic health issues and serious disease. If you want to climb out of the valley of sickness or simply want to raise the bar on your good health to prevent disease, don't go anywhere. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a physician that specializes in functional medicine, chiropractic neurology, and clinical nutrition. He's a best-selling author and sought-after transformational speaker on an array of topics ranging from fitness, diet, and disease prevention. He's appeared on several TV shows and has been featured in magazines including Fox News, Men's Health, Muscle and Fitness, and Goop, just to name a few. His new book is called Rebuild, 5 Proven Steps to Move from Diagnosis to Recovery and Be Healthier Than Before. It offers a unique program that allows the reader to create a personalized plan based on their individual health needs. Welcome to the show, Dr. Zembrowski, a.k.a. Dr. Z.
Thank you, Dr. Friedman. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's so great to have you on the show. Now, you wrote Rebuild after this amazing transformation that you experienced battling a life-threatening disease. It was very interesting reading about it. Share with us how this book can be applied to helping so many other health conditions.
You know, as I wrote the book, or as I dove into the research, I understood more about how chronic illness, whether it's a life-depleting issue or a serious disease, develop. And everybody hears the buzzwords, inflammation and oxidation and so forth. So as I dug through the research, I devised a plan that allowed me to rebuild my health to a level that was better than before. And I thought to myself that if this plan worked for me, it's going to work for other people with chronic health issues. And so I applied it to my clinical practice, to this protocol to patients in my clinical practice. And the results were astounding. And so I put the protocol together. The results have been fantastic with my patients here. It's absolutely been transformative for people. The principles work. The 5 steps that I put together has absolutely transformed the way people go through crisis care.
Yeah, you know, I've interviewed hundreds of doctors, health experts, and scientists whose opinion on diet, nutrition, and exercise completely differ from each other. However, there's one common denominator that every expert seems to agree on. Inflammation is the cause of disease. Have you found that maybe these protocols in your book work so well because they combat inflammation in the body, and that's why you're getting such great success?
You know, everybody, just as you've written in Food Sanity that inflammation is a driver for disease, and the steps and the protocols outlined can reduce inflammation as a driver for disease. Again, it's a buzzword, Doc, that, you know, as you know, people will say and flip it around and talk about it. But the reality is inflammation as a response to the immune system really is the prime driver of all chronic health issues, whether it's skin disorders, hormone problems, whether it's cancer, heart disease, autoimmune diseases. It's all driven by the immune system.
Right.
And as you said, inflammation really is the driver. So yes, not only have we seen it clinically in practice as we reduce inflammation, people get better, but the research really shows that inflammation is the spark and primer for most of these chronic health issues people are looking for answers for.
Yeah. You know, I read your book, Rebuild, highly recommended. It's truly an encyclopedia for wellness. I mean, you go into everything from proper diet, weight management, exercise, healthy recipes, to tips on nutritional supplements. If you had to pick the number one most important thing someone can do today to improve their health, what would you pick? Would you pick, like, is there a number one top advice?
Well, it's kind of a trick question. Well, I'm going to add two points there. I'm going to add two things that I think are the most important. One, I think people have to change their perceptions of their world, the stress, the things they read, they, as you said in your book, you have to dig for the truth, right? And people need to do that for themselves to find the information they need to help themselves. So I think, number one, people have to change their perception or their stressors, the environment, things they read, try to understand more. The second biggest thing, which maybe is the number one thing, is food. You know, and again, it's not a third tier Betty Crocker kind of thing that we talk about. We actually show people, just as you have done in your book, Food Sanity, what people need to know about food and what it does. And again, as you know, Doc, food is information that regulates genetic function. And if you eat the right information, you respect your genes enough to turn on specific genes to create health. And if you disrespect your genes, you create disease. And the biggest factor in the creation of disease, without question, is food. Processed food will create disease. Nutrient deficient foods create disease. And if you eat Mother Nature's foods, you can restore your health, which is what I have done on myself and countless others. So to answer your question, number one is food.
Food. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, there's a popular diet out there that says eat less food. It's called the intermittent fasting, and it recommends skipping breakfast. I personally believe in breakfast. I think it's still the most important meal of the day. I was so happy to see your number one advice for eating right is don't skip breakfast. Share with us why you feel this meal is so important.
You know, breakfast is, what is it? What does breakfast mean? It means to break a fast, break fast, breakfast. So if you sleep for 7 to 8 hours, hopefully you're sleeping for 7 to 8 hours a night. Typically, we've used up the food sources that we eaten the night before. It's stored as muscle, stored as energy in our liver and muscles called glycogen. So when you wake up, you're basically ready to start eating again to replenish those energy stores. And I think here's the biggest problem when people skip breakfast. A lot of people have stressful lives. They drink alcohol at night. They don't supplement. They don't eat food. A lot of my patients exercise at night. And so they're, for all these reasons, cortisol, the stress hormone, is elevated, and cortisol can alter your blood sugars. So let's say over time, as you've witnessed in your practice, Doc, that people get adrenal burnout. We've all heard about it, adrenal fatigue. And so people are exhausted. And how many times have you said a patient to you, I'm so exhausted in the morning, I can't get up, I need coffee or something to get me going. So to get them going, why would you skip breakfast? Because your blood sugar is already off. The stress hormones are already in play. So just as you have said and written, I strongly suggest people not to skip breakfast. And again, you bring up the way of eating and fad diets. Like, really? Why have we come into this fad diet society? Everybody's looking for the magic bullet.
They really are. And you know what's funny is, you know, we already fast. The average person fasts about 12 hours at night when we're sleeping from the last meal to the time we wake up. Folks, that's 6 months out of the year you're fasting. Isn't that enough? It's half your life. There's 24 hours in a day.
Agree.
We're fasting half of it. We want to do more than that? I'm with you. So I've always thought that's a little bit. And when I tell that to people, their mouth drops. It's common sense. They go, you're right. And we break the fast with breakfast.
Exactly. And how many people or patients do you treat or see that says, I turn into like Satan and crazy if I don't eat, you know, midday or every few hours? The reality is maybe some people shouldn't fast. And maybe some people should for a multitude of different reasons. You know, some of the data on fasting shows that fasting really is just beneficial for elderly for a lot of different reasons rather than someone that's young and active. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. I'm not into telling people just to go out and fast. And yes, if you fast 6 months out of the year, isn't that called starvation? I don't know.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, and it's so funny. We can even go into this keto diet. We won't even go into that because, you know, people that, that have anorexia, you know, these are the people that have, they're getting ketosis. So it's like, I don't know. Everyone's just starving. It's like eat healthy, eat clean. You don't have to be afraid of food. Just eat the right kind of food. And I'm kind of with you on that. Let me ask you this. For non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you know, I read that the overall 10-year survival rate is 59% and continues to decline every year. And they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. And your 10-year post-cancer photo is an amazing testament. You're healthier. You're in better shape than before the diagnosis. Can your protocols help you rebuild from a deadly cancer, you know, that you've done? Do they do the same for people with less serious conditions like diabetes, autoimmune, thyroid, and heart disease? Can they get better than before?
Well, one, thank you for the kind words. And number two, yes, because we're proving it and showing it all the time. So the book really isn't, Doc, the book isn't really about cancer, as you said before.
Right.
It's a multitude of steps and actions people can take that is not hard to implement that can reverse blood sugar issues associated with diabetes. It can reverse what's called TH1 and TH2 abnormalities in the immune system that leads to autoimmune diseases. We've had people, you know, reduce thyroid medications by using some of these principles. Those who had stents put in their coronary arteries because of an inflammatory coronary artery disease has lessened the need for medication. Their CRP and hsCRP levels have dramatically dropped. So to answer your question, yes, the principles work for, I don't want to say for all things, for all reasons, but it really does. I mean, if you're following the principles, the five steps outlined in the book, you can reverse diabetes. You can reduce the inflammation associated with cardiovascular disease. Unfortunately, the numerous people that we see going through cancer care now that we're helping them get through their cancer care, toxicity from chemo is minimized. And the survival for people that I've been following for years is absolutely phenomenal. And so I'm 10 and a half years disease free because I've used these principles to rebuild the internal terrain of my body. So it really is remarkable when you apply just basic things with an understanding of why and why to apply them and how to apply them to change your physiology to reverse a lot of these conditions. To answer your question, all of those things can improve. And no matter what place you are, you can still rebuild.
Yeah. And I know you've covered some on diet, but I love how in Rebuild you share how stress is also linked to diseases like obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. Share with us how stress can be a factor. And since everybody listening will probably get stressed learning this, that they're stressed, maybe how they can lower some of their stress levels.
So here's a quick story on myself. Previous to my diagnosis, I had a drug addict who was a heroin addict actually stealing from me. Stealing from insurance companies. I bought a big home. I put myself into debt. My relationship turned caustic. I mean, miserable. All these things happened at once. And when people do, what do people do when they're stressed? They don't take care of themselves. They eat crappy fast foods. They drink alcohol like I did to put myself to sleep or sedate myself, which actually didn't work. And so the stressful situation causes a huge, huge dysfunction associated with stress hormones in the body. So when we're stressed, we get a surge of hormones like cortisol, epinephrine, norepinephrine in the body that then spark and drive disease. People have to understand stress kills is not just a bumper sticker or something that's thrown around in a coffee shop. The stress reaction is a destructive process proven to spark and drive disease. So there's no question that all the research, even as you have stated in your book, the research is there. Stress drives disease. And I don't want to say stress per se, because stress is just a perception, right?
Right.
It's our perceived things of what's happening. But if we don't change the perception of our stress, guess what happens? I couldn't change the perception of my environment, and the stress hormones ripped me to shreds for months. And then 18 months after the smoke cleared of my stress, I was staring at a 5-inch tumor in my chest.
Right. So you share in your book how people can combat that a little bit, because, you know, it's easy to say, hey, stress is bad, but, you know, it's something. And, you know, I've learned a 1 to 10 stress. I ask patients all the time, what's your stress level? And they'll tell me, oh, it's a 10. I go, what's wrong? Well, my daughter won't learn her homework, and she's, you know, making bad grades. I'm like, that's a 10? You know, and you talk to someone who has cancer, that's a 10. But, you know, it's relevant. Everybody has a different level of where their stress is on 1 to 10. And, you know, it's what's one specific thing that's helped you with stress? So when you're stressed, what's the secret for the Dr. Z stress relief?
You know, I think the number one thing that I do to relieve stress for myself, honestly, there's no joke. This is not just a pun. I have an ability to change the perception of what it is. And unfortunately, I can't give people my perception because I faced a grim reaper. And so for me, who cares? Nothing else really matters. If whatever the drama is, I see things differently out of a new set of eyes for myself. So if I were to instruct somebody who's really stressed out, and if I were to give somebody one thing, just try to learn how to change your perception. Like you said, it's like, okay, well, that's pretty minimal, but somebody who's diagnosed with ALS or cancer, that is a life-changing, altering situation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can change your perception, your mind's visual perception of what something means, the stressful event, the stressor, you'll reduce the destructive effects of it. So again, I really push if people can change their perceptions of what the stressor is, they're going to mitigate the stress response or reduce the stress response. and mitigate the side effects and the disease that may ensue from that. And of course, you can reduce stress by eating nutrient-dense foods. Again, as you've stated, you can get exercising done. But when people are stressed, what do? They sedate themselves to sleep. They jack themselves up with inflammatory coffees in the morning. Yeah. There's all kinds of things.
That's so true. Let me ask you, I know we're in the new year and so many people are joining gyms to work out and lose weight. You make a statement in your book I was happy to see. You said, warning, you can't out-train a crappy diet. And most people look at someone like you that's ripped, you're in shape, you got muscles, they think that you got that weight from just pumping iron. Share with us why diet has such a bigger effect than dumbbells when it comes to getting into shape.
That's so true. It's like, listen, I took my fitness level to a whole different level because I wanted to. You don't have to do that.
Right.
And when I say, you know, and again, yes, weight training, high intensity interval training, all needs to be done for a healthy body. But regarding you can't out-train a crappy diet, why would you think that you can go to the gym for 45 minutes and reverse the damaging effects of all the crap you just ate the night before or the day before? So Nicole is a prime example. She was a neighbor of mine. She'd be on the treadmill. I'd get there in the morning. She was on the treadmill. I'd walk out. She's still on the treadmill. I said, why are you still here? And she said, you know what? I'm trying to lose weight, but I don't know what's going wrong. I said, well, what are you eating? She goes, I love my cheesecake and wine at night. I'm like, okay. Well, let me tell you this, Nicole. You can't out-train a crappy diet. So there's nothing you're going to do on a CrossFit field. You're not going to flip gigantic tires. You're not going to bench press 315 a thousand times or run on a treadmill for 3 hours to work off the damage from what you eat. It just will not happen. And if you think that you're going to, you're just fooling yourself.
Yeah, I read that it's like 700 jumping jacks to burn off the calories of a donut. I mean, what's easier? Just stop eating the donut. Actually, there's a part of the donut that is healthy. It's the hole, the center, that's nothing there.
Exactly. So listen, if you're into 10 seconds of pleasure, right, like from your tongue, you're going to suffer from 700 jumping jacks right after that, or you're going to suffer from 2 or 3 pounds of excessive water weight stored from excessive glycogen and sugar that you just ate. Is it really worth it? So go ahead, jump on the treadmill for 4 hours. You can write a book. You can build a house. You can, you know, donate your time to something. You can't out-train a crappy diet. Stop trying.
Yeah, and don't just trust me and Dr. Z. I mean, we're not known as exercise gurus, but I've interviewed Donovan Green. He's the Dr. Oz personal trainer, Denise Austin, America's favorite fitness guru, and Jay Cardiellis, celebrity personal trainer. I've asked all of them, what percentage of weight loss is diet? What percent is exercise? 80% diet, 20% exercise. You can't outrun your fork.
No doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's great.
It really is diet. And I hate to say diet is everything, because diet needs, as I've you know, rewritten, redefined what diet means for people, but it's food. It's what you eat on a daily basis that makes the difference. You just have to change your habits. You have to change your rituals, change your mindset around these things.
That's true.
And
one thing I was,
for sure.
Yeah. And one thing we talk about stress and diet, but one thing I was glad to see you recommend in your book, as I do, it's getting a good night's sleep. You know, research shows people need 7 hours of deep restorative sleep for good health, but the average female gets 6.3 hours. Men only get 5.6. Share with us why lack of sleep can contribute to disease.
The data is clear that if the requirement for normal physiology is, we'll say, 8 hours, your standard 8 hours, I think everybody knows 8 hours is where we should
yeah.
be.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the research out there, actually quite a bit of research, shows that if you reduce your sleep by just 2 hours, you cause an immune response in the body called inflammation. And so just by losing a little bit of sleep each night, you set the stage for disease because, number one, your immune system's not going to like that. So as a stressful event, your body's going to secrete these chemicals called cytokines, and it's going to create systemic inflammation and either reduce your ability to heal from disease and or spark it. The other thing to Doc, I think about this, if you don't get enough sleep, and you said it at the beginning as far as intermittent fasting and blood sugar issues and so forth, then your cortisol, your stress hormones are going to rise when you don't get enough sleep. So when people don't get enough sleep, their stress hormone cortisol levels are off. And then what do people tend to do when their cortisol levels off? Feed it. So you're not
yes.
going to say, oh, I'm tired, I don't feel good, let me go have a stick of celery. It won't happen. And then people jump into eating junk food because people get something, they get a boost from salt, sugar, fat, caffeine, all of those things. So a lack of sleep is more than just a lack of sleep and the production of disease, but it really sets the stage for other things happening in the body that then really push you into a place of being unhealthy and risking you a disease.
Yeah, I mean, it's a catalyst. I mean, you mentioned it. Lack of sleep increases your stress hormone. That makes you want to eat more. That makes you gain more. And there you go. It's a vicious cycle.
It is a vicious cycle.
So true. In the minute we have left, what else do we need to know about your new book, Rebuild? Why should everybody listening get a copy of this, which I have, and I highly recommend it? Why do they need a copy, too?
I guess if I were to say one thing, Rebuild is the only program that allows the reader to create a personal plan based on their needs. And again, if you're confused about a lot of different things, there's a section in there about testing the disease terrain, which I really outline all the major health issues and what medical tests can be done that you can bring to your doctors to say, I'd like these things tested for to give me a better understanding about my health. And again, I wrote Rebuild so other suffering would have a roadmap back to health. And to answer your question now, I think I wanted people to have a roadmap. To reduce confusion, just like in Food Sanity, your book, like you wanted to reduce the confusion so people know what to do. They know the actions to take. They know questions. And the finale of all this, I want people to be better advocates for themselves. Can you imagine if more people can advocate for themselves to their doctors and their healthcare providers? Medicine is the third leading cause of death hospital errors are the third leading cause of death in this country right now. Why would you want to become a statistic? And I think that the tools and the tips that I've outlined in Rebuild really allow people to become their own advocates to overcome whatever they have as far as a health challenge.
Yeah, fantastic. It's like I always tell people, if you want the secret to good health care, look in the mirror. It begins with you.
Absolutely.
Not your doctor, not your pharmacist. You have the power to heal the body or make it sick. It's up to you. So get this book. Thanks so much for being with us today. You have shared some awesome advice on how we can always restore and rebuild our health. And to get your copy of Rebuild, you want to go to drzembrowski.com. And while you're there, be sure and sign up for his Rebuild newsletter and receive 6 tips to boost your energy and metabolism. Make sure you check out his media library and information-packed articles. You can follow Dr. Z on Twitter at Dr. Rob Zembrowski. On Facebook, it's at Zembrowski. And on Instagram, Dr. Zembrowski. And to get my daily health post, follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Dr. David Friedman. And on Instagram, Dr. D. Friedman. If you heard Dr. Z share something today that somebody you know needs to hear, and I'm sure you have friends and neighbors that need this information, send them a link to this podcast. It's available to yourgoodhealthradio.com and radiomd.com. And while you're there, be sure and check out our podcast library and share segments with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. It's too important information here to keep to yourself. So share this stuff. Share this information. You can also subscribe to future podcasts on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.